Well, here we are, the first Sunday of a new church year, beginning as we always do with Advent and with the first Sunday of Advent, Sunday of Hope. And I think it's not too much of an overstatement to say that without hope, we really don't have anything. There are a number of things that we need, it appears, to flourish. And I say flourish, not simply to survive. And hope seems to be one of those that's absolutely critical. But hope, much like faith, needs some kind of an object. Hope in hope itself, perhaps is better than nothing, but it's still not as helpful as we might want. And telling people who are feeling hopeless that they should just hope, well, that's not only is that not helpful, it might even be kind of cruel. People who are hopeless or feeling hopeless need a bit more than just this sense that they should be less hopeless. It just doesn't work that way. And so you would think that with this, the beginning of the church here, and thinking of hope, we would have all these dozens and dozens of scriptures that speak specifically about hope in ways that are unmistakable. We'd have one of those. And yet, instead, we have some that are just a little bit different. Our Old Testament lesson is certainly about hope. There's no getting past that. God says, these are the things I've said to you, they will come to pass. It's just a matter of waiting. What Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians, his letters to the Thessalonians are places that we often go, for example, at funerals. So you think there would be more obvious hope kinds of things in there, and they're there to be found. We look and see that our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will clear the way for Paul and his associates to come to them. So we're looking hopeful there that he will strengthen your hearts. You'll be blameless and holy in the presence Lord Jesus comes. Obviously that is hopeful. And then we have our Luke reading that is filled with things falling out of the sky and people fainting with terror. Well, hope in what then? Or hope for what? Well, believe it or not, I find the Luke text the one that is most interesting to me on this, the Sunday of Hope. Where it begins with, you know, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and there's going to be anguish and perplexity. The sea is going to go crazy, and the heavenly bodies are going to be doing things that we've never seen before. And eventually, people will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And there's certainly some hope in there that the Son of Man comes. But then he goes on to this parable. Look at the fig tree. And all trees, when they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. And then he says, hearkening back to what he's just talked about, when you see these things coming, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Well, near is a tricky word. Near. Like, how close is near? Well, it comes down to how long is a piece of string? Well, depends how long it needs to be. Depends on a lot of things. And Jesus says, I will tell you the truth. And this is a very problematic text for lots of people in verse 32. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And there's all kinds of scholarly discussion around what Jesus means here. The plain text, as a certain kind of believer says, you know, the plain text, what's just obvious to everybody is what it is, makes this text wrong. A generation, in a technical sense, is often 20 or 25 years. In a colloquial sense, it's the time it takes you to be born, to live and die. Well, it obviously isn't that. The bigger question about this generation is, could it mean more than this? And the actual Greek word that's here can just as easily be translated as race. And if we look at it from that perspective, it's not so much a simplistic temporal term that in this length of time something's happened. But Jesus is saying that all kinds of terrible things are going to happen, and you're going to think that the world is going to come to an end, but it won't. I think the best way to look at this text is Jesus saying, no matter how awful things look, and for those of us who have any kind of recollection of the middle to late 60s, of which I don't have a lot, but I have some, I remember talking to my parents about what it must have been like for them in the early 60s when the nuclear clock that people keep, which was just a countdown to nuclear destruction of everything, was at 2 seconds to midnight. It's just an analogy they've come up with, and that was right around the Bay of Pigs when there was this huge problem. This is a text to go for when we look at that. When we are concerned these days about climate change, whatever we think about that, and no matter how pleasant we are currently finding it here in November, when you can wear a t-shirt outside most days if you want to and not be too uncomfortable, there are people who will tell you, and they have backing, that catastrophic events are going to happen. And Jesus says, yes, all of these things are going to come, and some of them are going to work out to be the case, and some of them will just be rumors. But you need to know that people, the world, will not end. Jesus has said, as clearly as anything, that he is going to come back. And he's reminding us here that he's going to come back to human beings, not to a desiccated husk of a destroyed world. And most of the time, that's just incomprehensible to us. Until we think back, those of us who remember the early 60s, when we were really worried about these things, or the 50s, where we had, this is what you do if a nuclear bomb falls close to your school. Turns out, hiding under your desk probably wouldn't have helped you all that much, although, if the roof fell in, I guess it would be useful there. But there have been times when we as people, clear-thinking, intelligent, well-educated people, have really worried that the world is going to end. And Jesus said, no, it will not. Bad things will happen because bad things happen. But the world will not end. There is always hope. He goes on to say that we need to be careful that our hearts could become weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. I'm pretty sure that dissipation and drunkenness lead to the anxieties of life, no matter whether we like it or not. But he says it's going to come. The day is going to come. And be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape that all is about to happen. You may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Considering all the texts that we could have looked at about hope, it perhaps seems a little odd that this would be one of the ones that we use. But if we look at sort of the biggest catastrophes we could have and work our way backwards, if you have hope in the biggest things of life, for most of us it's easier to have hope in the things that are less big. One of the things that's so interesting, if you've spent any time with people who have had a really significant diagnosis of an illness, cancer is the one that leaps to mind at first, and I think all of us have known someone. I think it's almost impossible to meet someone who hasn't had some connection with cancer somewhere. And one of the things that I've noticed, and living through this in my very own home, is that when cancer, in a sense, shows exactly how awful it can be, and then goes into remission, everything changes. And when I say everything, I mean everything. When you go from hoping that someone doesn't die, and they don't, it is so much easier to hope that your day will go well. And sometimes you realize you're not hoping for those things at all, because it never even crosses your mind to worry about them, because this person that you thought was going to die isn't going to, and so that just fixes everything. Loss of hope is one of those things that will just suck the life out of your life. One of the worst things about depression, talk to anybody who has lived through it, talk to me if you need somebody and you don't know anybody else who's gone through depression, is that sense of hopelessness, where nothing matters, where no matter what you do, nothing will ever come out of it, nothing will work out in the end. And Jesus specifically addresses that in lots of places, and he does it here too, where he says it is very possible that things will happen in the world at large that will make you wonder whether that world will survive at all. Think back to a pre-astronomical culture. The thought of things in the air, celestial bodies not doing what they're supposed to, would have been so much more frightening for them than for us. That's one of the reasons why Jesus takes it, where he says that there will be things in the sun, moon, and stars that are going to rock your ability to be hopeful for the future. I mean, back then, the wisest and smartest minds, for the most part, thought that the earth was the center of the universe and everything else went around it. So if things were going wrong with that, what was next other than complete destruction? Jesus said, even in the midst of that, when adult people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies themselves will be shaken, he says, at that point, you may be tempted to just think that it's all going to be useless, that there's nothing we can do. He says, you know what? That won't happen. In the same way that we think back to God's promise to Noah, saying that the world will never be destroyed by a flood again, Jesus is saying the world will never be destroyed by anything. Not climate change, not terrorist attack, not rogue nations with nuclear weapons. These are not trivial things. These are not invented fantasies of a paranoid mind. We might disagree about the details of some of these things that may happen, but the reality is there in front of us. Look at the news. And if you were given to hopelessness, you could look at what happened in various parts of Africa, what happened in France, what's continuing to happen on a micro basis in our neighbor to the south. And you could think that this is just all going to fall apart and it'll all be gone. And on this Sunday, the first Sunday of a new year, a new church year, the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope, Jesus says, no, when I come back, whenever that is, whatever that looks like, I'm going to come back to people. I must confess, part of me wanted more of that micro hope in the Bible, which is everywhere, the hope directed to individual people and about individual situations. Story of Hannah hopelessly wondering if she'd ever have a baby and a baby run. But it's not such a bad thing to be reminded that in the biggest picture there is, Jesus has said, no matter what your worries might be, legitimate as they are, you'll notice he doesn't say that people who are worried about these things are foolish. He's just saying what you need to know is that no matter what happens, human beings will not be erased from the earth. Artificial intelligence will not finally achieve, the singularity will not be achieved in artificial intelligence, and robots will take over the world. None of these things, all of which are possible, none of which are just absurd things to worry about. But in their totality, none of those will happen. At some point, Jesus will come again. Not this time as a baby, coming in weakness, but coming in the power that's always been his. And when he comes, he will come to his people and he will come to all people. And no matter how much we try to worry that it's impossible, Jesus says, no, this generation, this race of people, human beings, will not pass away. These things will happen, but I will still be here, and so will you. We begin the year with the hope that our biggest concerns are understood, are respected and dealt with by Christ, who says, I understand why you're worried about these things. It's okay to be worried about these things, but you need to know that they will not achieve your biggest worry. I will come back. And when I come back, I will come back to the people that I've created and I've loved enough to come and die. We begin this new church year in hope, as we begin every new church year in hope. The hope of the return of our Lord, even as we look forward to celebrating his first coming as a baby. Amen.